Just like to thank the Reverend Reggie Cranson for his kind words of welcome. It is a joy to be here in Port Hope. I never ever dreamt that I would be this far from home. I'm not much of a traveller. I'm someone who just resides around home. And for me, this is quite a journey, and I thoroughly enjoyed it. And I count it an honour to be allowed to come and speak to you folk here in Port Hope. Of course, I bring greetings from everyone in Tandragee. As Reverend Cranson has said, he has a very strong link with Tandragee. He mentioned his wife getting saved in Scarva, that's 4 miles down the road, and that's where my daughter lives. She got married last year in the Bodowee house in Scarva. So really, there's a whole link here, and I pass the house that Reverend Mrs. Cranson lived in 3 or 4 times every week whenever I'm driving around the town. So there's a real bond. The people of Tandragee have asked me to wish you God's richest blessing and to pass on their greetings to you. And I do that. They know of Port Hope. They pray for it. I cannot say every Tuesday night, but certainly every month in our prayer meeting, somebody will remember the Reverend Cranson and the people in Port Hope. They've never been here, but they know of you and they pray for you. And they asked me to pass on their best wishes. Of course, we bring greetings too from our presbytery in Northern Ireland. We think of you all the time in presbytery. And we were asked to pass on the Lord's blessing from all of your friends in Ulster and from our presbytery. And we're glad that we can still remain united together and have this bond and this unity and oneness in Christ and in the preaching of the gospel. And we cherish that relationship with you folk in Canada. Just before I read the scriptures, there's something I would like to do. The mayor of Armagh City Council is a born-again Christian and a Free Presbyterian. She actually was saved in Tandragee Free Presbyterian Church in Sunday school. She then moved house with her parents and ended up living in Market Hill, attended the Free Presbyterian Church in Market Hill, married a young man from Armagh, and now she attends Armagh Free Presbyterian Church. You might be wondering, well, that's a lot of moving around. Well, it's only 8 miles from Tandragee to Market Hill and another 7 miles up to Armagh. So, even though quite a few churches, but she has lived in that district all of her life, and she's saved. She's doing a great job as the mayor of Armagh, and standing up for the Lord and in a very quiet, dignified way has a real good testimony with all of the folks. So whenever I was coming over here, I said to her, do you know those lovely little plaques that you have with the coat of arms for the council? Could I have one of those, please, to establish and just recognise the links with the folks in Port Hope? And she said, certainly. And this is actually quite historic, because back home we've got a boundaries commission and they're changing everything. These government bodies always change everything, as you know. They're changing everything back home, and really Armagh City and District Council in a year and a half's time will cease to exist. It'll never be the same again. And Armagh is the ecclesiastical capital of Ireland, so it's a very historic city. And there are just a couple of things here I'd like to present to Reverend Cranson that he can always have and cherish and remember our little visit. First of all, there is the coat of arms, if you'd like to come up, Mr. Cranson. And it actually says here, presented by the office of the mayor. That makes it very important. And it's just to remind you of those early days in Armagh. She asked me to pass that on to you. And also a little book. It's just Armagh, City of Light and Learning. And if you listen to his preaching in the days that lie ahead and you hear a wee illustration from Armagh and something that happened, you'll know he got it in that book. And I trust you'll enjoy reading that as well.
Thank you very much.
God bless you.
Thank you.
You're very welcome, Mr. Cranson. Maybe you'd turn with me now in God's holy and precious word to the second book of Chronicles and chapter 26. Second Chronicles and chapter 26, we're going to commence the reading at verse 1. Second Chronicles, chapter 26, and verse 1. Here we read, "Then all the people of Judah took Uzziah, who was 16 years old, and made him king in the room of his father Amaziah. He built Eloth and restored it to Judah. After that, the king slept with his fathers. 16 years old was Uzziah when he began to reign, and he reigned 52 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Jechaliah of Jerusalem. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, according to all that his father Amaziah did. And he sought God in the days of Zechariah, who had understanding in the visions of God. And as long as he sought the Lord, God made him to prosper. And he went forth and warred against the Philistines, and brake down the wall of Gath, and the wall of Jabneh, and the wall of Ashdod, and built cities about Ashdod and among the Philistines. And God helped him against the Philistines and against the Arabians that dwelt in Gerbil and the Mehunims. And the Ammonites gave gifts to Uzziah, and his name spread abroad even to the entering in of Egypt. For he strengthened himself exceedingly. Moreover, Uzziah built towers in Jerusalem at the corner gate, and at the valley gate, and at the turning of the wall, and fortified them. Also, he built towers in the desert, and digged many wells, for he had much cattle, both in the low country and in the plains. Husbandmen also, and vine dressers in the mountains, and in Carmel, for he loved husbandry. Moreover, Uzziah had an host of fighting men that went out to war by bands, according to the number of their account by the hand of Jeiel, the son of Maaseiah, the ruler, under the hand of Hananiah, one of the king's captains. The whole number of the chief of the fathers of the mighty men of valor were 2,600. And under their hand was an army, 300,000, and 7,000, and 500, that made war with mighty power to help the king against the enemy. And Uzziah prepared for them throughout all the host shields and spears and helmets and habergeons and bows and slings to cast stones. And he made in Jerusalem engines invented by cunning men to be on the towers and upon the bulwarks, to shoot arrows and great stones withal. And his name spread far abroad, for he was marvelously helped, till he was strong. But when he was strong, his heart was lifted up to his destruction. For he transgressed against the Lord his God, and went into the temple of the Lord to burn incense upon the altar of incense. And Azariah the priest went in after him, with him 80 priests of the Lord, that were valiant men. And they withstood Uzziah the king, and said unto him, It appertaineth not unto thee, Uzziah, to burn incense unto the Lord, but to the priests, the sons of Aaron, that are consecrated to burn incense. Go out of the sanctuary, for thou hast trespassed. Neither shall it be for thine honour from the Lord God. Then Uzziah was wroth, and had a censer in his hand to burn incense. And while he was wroth with the priests, the leprosy even rose up in his forehead, before the priests in the house of the Lord, from beside the incense altar. And Azariah the chief priest and all the priests looked upon him, and behold, he was leprous in his forehead. They thrust him out from thence, yea, himself hasted also to go out, because the Lord had smitten him. And Uzziah the king was a leper unto the day of his death, and dwelt in a several house, being a leper. For he was cut off from the house of the Lord. And Jotham his son was over the king's house, judging the people of the land. Now the rest of the acts of Uzziah, first and last, did Isaiah the prophet, the son of Amoz, write. So Uzziah slept with his fathers, and they buried him with his fathers in the field of the burial, which belonged to the kings. For they said, he is a leper. And Jotham, his son, reigned in his stead. Amen. And we know that God will add his own divine blessing to the public reading of his precious word to each one in this gathering. We'll bow together in a word of prayer. We'll ask the Lord to help us to understand his word. We'll ask the Lord to bless us through the study of his word. Let's seek the Lord's face together. Our gracious God, we bow in thy holy presence today in the Saviour's great name. We thank thee for the word of the Lord that we have before us. We praise thee for allowing us to assemble in this fashion. We thank thee for each one that thou hast brought in. And we would say to thee, Lord, thou dost know the need of every heart. Thou dost see the inner man. Thou dost know the thoughts and intents of the heart. And our God knows what word is needed today. We would acknowledge that. We would acknowledge our own inability to bring the word of the Lord. And we pray for thy help. For the help of God the Holy Spirit. That the word of the Lord might be in season today. A word of warning, a word of caution. A word to help each one along the way. O Lord, we need thee to speak to us. Lord, it fills our hearts when God speaks through his word. Lord, our hearts actually burn within us. And we pray for that experience today as we sit at the feet of our Saviour. These things we ask in the precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Today, I would like to look with you at the subject of a family in decline. A family in decline. Or we could say a family in meltdown. A family that destroyed itself completely. Even though the members of that family thought that what they were doing was right, and they thought that they were going in the right direction, but they were not. I want you to remember all the way through the study that this family destroyed itself. No one else did it. They couldn't blame anyone else for anything that went wrong, even though they might have tried to do that. But they were in meltdown, and it was their fault, and their fault alone. Now, the way that this family destroyed itself was very simple. They just didn't obey the Lord. They thought that they could do their own thing. They thought that they could do whatever they liked. They thought that they could worship God whatever way they liked. And they thought that they did not have to obey anyone but themselves. They were, in their own opinion, their own bosses. That's what they thought. They thought that they were above everyone else, and they thought that they were answerable to no one else. And they even thought that they could tell the Lord what to do. Now, whenever this family started to go in this direction, doing their own thing, ignoring the clear-cut commands of God's word, there was only one direction they could go in, downwards. and they entered into a downward spiral. You will see that on this downward journey, things only went from bad to worse. Please remember, this is what happens to every individual and every family when they start to move away from the word of the Lord. Remember, as we do this study, that when people do what this family did and go astray, the effect can be very damaging upon their children and upon their grandchildren. We'll see that in the word of the Lord today as well. Because this sin of thinking you can do whatever you like and ignore the word of the Lord, make your own decisions, this sin is like throwing a stone into a pond that has a ripple effect. And it spreads and spreads and spreads. And it spread for this family. And by the way, this was a royal family. It was no ordinary family. I suppose, like all of us, you could say they were all sinners who needed the grace of God. But they were a royal family. So let's look today at the father, the son, and the grandson in the context of a family in decline. First of all, we want to talk to you about Uzziah. If you look at chapter 26 and verses 3, 4, and 5, we'll read them again. And we've summarized his problem as one of arrogance. Remember that. That's the first point. Here's where it all starts. It starts with the sin of arrogance. But, well, think about Uzziah in the early part of his reign before we come to the point where he really started to go off the rails. Verse 3, chapter 26, 2 Chronicles. It tells us 16 years old was Uzziah when he began to reign. And he reigned 52 years in Jerusalem. It's quite a long reign. His mother's name also was Jechaliah of Jerusalem. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, according to all that his father Amaziah did. And he sought God in the days of Zechariah, who had understanding in the visions of God. And as long as he sought the Lord, God made him to prosper. Now friends, there isn't much wrong in those three verses. As a matter of fact, there's nothing wrong. Nothing. The young king takes over as king of Judah. He seeks the Lord in order to do what's right. And God blesses his reign. He starts off well. You can't fault Uzziah here. He's giving the Lord his proper place in his life. The Lord comes first. The will of God is all important. This man prays and seeks the Lord for help as he sets out as the king of Judah. And God does bless him. He wins the wars that he has to fight in defense of his country. A sure sign at that time that God was with him. The Lord was helping him. Not only did he win the foreign wars, Uzziah fortified the cities in his own country and the cities that were conquered. His nation was strengthened internally. We're told in this portion of scripture he expanded the army. The nation was strong. The economy was strong. What more could any king long for? God has blessed him. God has signally blessed young Uzziah. Things are going well. That is, until we get to verse 16. Let's look at it. It's a very sad commentary on what happened in his life. But when he was strong, his heart was lifted up to his destruction. For he transgressed against the Lord, his God, and went into the temple of the Lord to burn incense upon the altar of incense. That's a sad verse. Instead of these blessings causing him to walk humbly and gratefully before the Lord, they did the exact opposite. Uzziah became proud, probably thinking that the success was all down to him, or at least in a large degree down to him. Take careful note of this. God can bless, and people can be grateful for God's signal blessing upon their lives. But as time goes on, if they start to lose out in fellowship with the Lord, if they start to lose out in that close walk with their Savior, if they start to drift in any way, then they can forget about the Lord and his commands. You would say, oh, so-and-so could never do that. I could never do that. Let's guard against pride. We can know the Lord as our Savior. We can love him as our King. And we can serve him as our Master. And yet as time goes on, even with that blessing, if we don't keep close to him, we can become very proud. And even start to think, what I have obtained by my own merit, through my own gifts and talents. Poor Uzziah started to think like that. Blessed indeed, but in a sense had forgotten the God who had blessed him. And friends, when a person's heart is lifted up, even the heart of a born-again Christian, that person can start to think that he or she can do whatever he or she likes, even to the point of disobeying the Lord. Because Uzziah did this very thing. He became proud. He thought it was all down to him. And one day he decided he would go to the temple and there he would burn incense on the altar to the Lord. Of course, this was a duty that God had given to the descendants of Aaron, the priests of the Lord, and to no one else. Look at verses 17 and 18. And Azariah the priest went in after him. That's when the king went into the temple to do this. And with Azariah, 80 priests of the Lord that were valiant men. And they withstood Uzziah the king and said unto him, it appertaineth not unto thee, Uzziah, to burn incense unto the Lord, but to the priests, the sons of Aaron, that are consecrated to burn incense. Go out from of the sanctuary, for thou hast trespassed. Neither shall it be for thine honour from the Lord God. Friends, in Old Testament times, just as in New Testament times, there is a way to do the work of God. You cannot do whatever you like. God's work is to be done God's way. But some people make the mistake that Uzziah made. They think they can come into the house of the Lord and just do whatever they like. And they justify their actions by saying things like, oh, I've got zeal for the Lord, and I'll do whatever I want. I'll be able to do my own thing, and God will have to bless me. Not so. It doesn't work like this. It never has worked like this. Azariah, the priest of the Lord, says to Uzziah, the king, you can't worship God this way. This is unscriptural. This is wrong. You must not do this. Get out. He said no to the king. It took godly courage to do that. Get out of the temple. Don't do this. Now, how did the king respond to that? I suppose it's almost a foregone conclusion how the king would respond. Look at verse 19 with me. then Uzziah was wroth. He had a censer in his hand to burn incense, and while he was wroth with the priests, the leprosy even rose up in his forehead before the priests of the, in the house of the Lord from beside the incense altar. And Azariah the chief priest and all the priests looked upon him. Behold, he was leprous in his forehead, and they thrust him out from thence. Yea, himself hasted also to go out, because the Lord had smitten him. And Uzziah the king was a leper unto the day of his death, and dwelt in a several house, being a leper, for he was cut off from the house of the Lord. And Jotham his son was over the king's house, judging the people of the land. Before I read verses 19, 20 and 21, I ask you, how did the king respond when God's servant said to him, you must not do this, actually you'll not do it, don't do it? How did he respond? He got mad. He got angry. We have a wee saying back home. I know the Reverend Cranston will know it. I don't know if you use it here in Port Hope or not. He took it thick. No, someone says they recognise the wee phrase. That's basically what the king did. He got angry. How dare you? How dare you stop me doing this? I want to do it. How dare you stop me? He took the view no one would tell him what to do or what not to do in this particular case. The king was so arrogant that he thought he knew more than the priest of the Lord, and he looked down upon Azariah with total contempt. Now the king was way out of order, and the Lord struck him with leprosy, a disease that he suffered until the day of his death. And there's a solemn, solemn warning in this for all of us. Never, ever, ever become angry or arrogant in the work of the Lord. Never. Never, ever take the attitude, I know it all, and I'll do whatever I like. Friends, arrogance before the Lord is like committing spiritual suicide. You're only damaging yourself, those around you, and those who come after you. You're only doing yourself and the cause of Christ great harm. You see, Uzziah thought that he knew it all. He thought he could do whatever he liked, but sadly, his actions proved just how little the king actually knew. His arrogance brought terrible trouble into his life. Oh, that we would see, if we're saved, if we're born again Christians and followers of Christ, that arrogance has no place in the work of the Lord. It has no place in it. We should always be humble and always be submissive to the word and the ways of Christ. Always. Poor Uzziah. He starts the family out on a downward spiral because of his arrogance. But that brings me in the second place to his son. And we've just called what happened to him negligence. Look at verse 23 of chapter 26. So Uzziah slept with his fathers, and they buried him with his fathers in the field of the burial which belongeth to the kings, for they said, he is a leper. Jotham, his son, reigned in his stead. I'm going to call Jotham the negligent one. His father was the arrogant one. Jotham became the negligent one. Uzziah passes away and life goes on. That's the way it is in this world. We pass away, but life goes on.
his son Jotham comes to the throne. He came with a pedigree, if you want to call it that. Because look with me at chapter 27 and verse 1. Here's Uzziah's son Jotham. In chapter 27 verse 1, 2 Chronicles tells us, Jotham was 25 years old when he began to reign. And he reigned 16 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name also was Jeshura, the daughter of Zadok. Zadok. Now, this lad here, Jotham, his grandfather on his mother's side was Zadok. He was a priest of the Lord. He was a good man. He was a servant of Christ. So Jotham would have been well tutored in the things of God. Remember that. He had a godly grandfather. His father was a believer. Uzziah was a believer. Remember that. I've already pointed out that through his arrogance, he ruined his own testimony and brought trouble into his own life. But he was a believer. Believers, through their arrogant manner, can lose their testimony. That's what happened to Uzziah. Jotham comes along, godly grandfather, father who had made sure he was taught in the ways of the Lord. And the young man had much going for him. But God tells us something in his word that we cannot ignore. Look at chapter 27, verse 2. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, according to all that his father Uzziah did. Howbeit, he entered not into the temple of the Lord. And the people did yet corruptly. He did that which was right in the sight of the Lord. This was good. He wasn't the worst of Judah's kings by any stretch of the imagination. He wasn't an idolater. But things were not right in his heart. And in the things that he practiced, things were not right. Because the Bible says there in verse 2, howbeit, he entered not into the temple of the Lord. He did so many things that were right. But he wouldn't go to the temple of the Lord. It would seem, friends, as if some sort of resentment lingered in his soul. The new king could not and would not conquer the bitterness of spirit that he had. What was wrong? Well, you see, his father had been punished in the temple. His dad had gone to do that which God had said you shouldn't be doing. And his father had been smitten with the leprosy in the temple. Is it possible that Jotham is now saying, I'll never set foot in that place again? It would seem so from the reading of the scriptures of truth. Howbeit he entered not into the temple of the Lord. Has young Jotham decided in his folly, I'll not darken the door of that place. Look at what they did to my father in there. Anyway, I don't need to go there. I can worship at home. I can do just as good a job at home. Maybe even better. Can you hear him saying within his soul, I'll not be sitting under Azariah or those priests. After them standing up to my dad and trying to put dad out of the temple, and God coming down and smiting with the leprosy, do you think I'm going to listen to that crowd? Those people have nothing to say that'll benefit my soul or inspire me. Maybe he's even thinking I could teach them a thing or two. So he decided he would neglect the public place of worship and worship God at home. Biblical? No.
Has it ever been?
No.
Will it ever be?
No.
You all know the verse in Hebrews 10, where the apostle says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is. It is not God's will to forsake the house of the Lord and the worship of God. We come together to worship our living Savior. It is not God's will to absent oneself from the public place of worship. But here's Jotham. He's taking the attitude, I'll not be going out to publicly worship God. I have no intention of doing it. Friends, we are to assemble together to publicly worship and to preach the gospel, to hear the word. Of course, we have to have proper biblical oversight. The Bible says we're to obey those that have the rule over us. The Bible says elders that rule well are to be counted worthy of double honor. There's a way to worship the Lord. There's a way to preach Christ. But it seems as if this king has decided, I'll not be doing it. I'll not be doing it. Well, the public worship of the Lord is not only a requirement. It is something that is commanded in the Bible. It must be carried out. And there are people who, as a result of arrogance and bitterness, simply will not obey. Rather than get their little ones up and get them out to Sunday school, oh, we'll just sit at home. Rather than go out to worship, we'll just sit at home. And they think it's all right to do it. But friends, I've discovered as time has gone on, actions and attitudes of those who profess the name of Christ always rub off on their offspring. They always do. They always have an effect upon them. They always have an influence upon them. I've known people who have got mad when they didn't get their own way in the things of God in the local church. But their carnal actions had a most dreadful effect upon their offspring. We see here a king who was riddled with arrogance. His son was riddled with negligence. But it's not over yet. Oh, that it was over, but it's not. It goes further. We come to the next one, and he was riddled with belligerence. Look at chapter 27 and verse 9. Here's the grandson of Uzziah. Chapter 27, verse 9. And Jotham slept with his fathers, and they buried him in the city of David, and Ahaz, his son, reigned in his stead. Here we arrive at the next generation. Uzziah was arrogant, Jotham was negligent, and now we come to Ahaz, and he is outrightly belligerent. Go to chapter 28. We're just taking you quickly through the end of the story now. Chapter 28, verses 1 and 2. Here's the grandson. Ahaz was 20 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 16 years in Jerusalem. But he did not that which was right in the sight of the Lord, like David his father, for he walked in the ways of the kings of Israel, and made also molten images for Balaam. Ah, here's a king of Judah. But he's living more like a king of Israel. He's behaving more like a king of Israel. Such is his sin. Such is his depravity. His father didn't go to church at all. And he turned out to be a complete heathen. He was an idolater. Friends, people can go down much quicker than they rise up. This family had gone down rapidly. And look at what Ahaz did, because there's something shockingly dreadful in verse 24 of chapter 28. And Ahaz gathered together the vessels of the house of God and cut in pieces the vessels of the house of God. And look at this bit. And shut up the doors of the house of the Lord. And he made him altars in every corner of Jerusalem.
he closed the house of the Lord completely. That's what he did. His grandfather had got mad in the house of the Lord. His father never went near the house of the Lord. And now he closes it down completely. And the house of the Lord is silent. The doors are closed. No worshippers assemble. No songs of praise ascend to the Lord. It's closed up completely. There's darkness. And the witness is now silent. Completely silent. Oh, if his great-grandfather Zadok the priest had been alive, how heartbroken he would have been at the way that Ahaz turned out. Now, what is happening here under Ahaz is a tragedy. But it didn't start here. It just ended here. This is not where it started. You've got to go back to the grandfather Uzziah to see where it all began. I was thinking, you know, if Uzziah had been able to see where his arrogance was going to take his family and his nation and take the work of God, if he had been able to see a few years down the line, would he have been so arrogant? Well, I'd hope not. If he'd been able to see just where this was going to end. If Jotham had only been able to see where his neglect of the house of God was going to end, if he'd only been able to see his own son and what was going to happen, would he have neglected the house of the Lord? I'd like to think not. But I can't be sure. But the lesson here today is very simple. We should all walk humbly with God every day we live. We should all thank the Lord for Christ, our Savior and Redeemer. And we should all covenant every day, Lord, whatever duty you require of me, I'll do it. I will worship you your way. I will serve you your way. I will behave in the local church your way, Lord. I'll just do it humbly. And I'll get on with the work of God. Because this whole story of this family shows us that when you start to get out of line with the Lord, and you start to become at variance with the work of God, and even in conflict with the work of God, it's a downward, slippery slope, which involves the loss of God's blessing and even the closure of God's work. This is what happened. God has recorded this very sorry story in his eternal word to be a lesson to us all. Let us always seek to do justly, love mercy, and walk humbly with the Lord. And then these tragedies will be avoided. I trust that the Lord in mercy will have spoken to your heart through his word. And may the Lord use his word to encourage you to be more determined than ever before to live in the center of his will and follow him and do his work, his way, not our way. May God richly bless all you folk in Port Hope. And thank you again, Mr. Cranston, for having us. Thank you.